Hey there, where have you been? Welcome to the No Jet Stress podcast, the show that helps you maintain optimal health and peak performance as a road warrior, no matter how much you travel. I'm your host, Christopher Babiodi, traveler wellness advocate, nutritional therapist, author, and ex-flight attendant of 20 years at British Airways, one of the UK's largest airlines. Welcome back to part three of my conversation with Anne Sederall, consultant at LeapShift. In part two, I promised you greenwashing's older brother. So, let me ask you, how much innovation washing do you observe in the travel industry? Whether it's health dashboards or death by PowerPoint, stop for a minute. We really need creativity to move our industry forward. Take it away, Anne.
And speaking actually of greenwashing, that was a topic that was brought up in Barcelona as well, which I love, and that is innovation washing. And I just, you know, sat there going, yes, finally, they are talking about this topic that to me is also very important, because there is a lot of innovation washing out there, pretending that you're innovating while you're not.
Wow.
And, there's so much of it that I can, you know, write a whole list of innovation washing. And it's pretty sad. And I've actually coined an expression in the industry that when I give advice, I've coined the expression MTP. It has to be more than PowerPoint. When you go and look at something, you know, take a look at a product, see what it does. Ask for a demo. How is this used? Ask for use cases. MVPs, or sort of discuss how can we get to a proof of concept. I think we're just flooded with old. I've even heard a company saying to me, "Oh yeah, we tick everything on the RFPs. You know, we tick yes to everything on the 4,500 questions. It really doesn't matter. It's going to take so long anyway. We'll just build it as it goes along." You should just get the waste of time in all of this. And I hope that we're going to shed some more light on the sort of innovation washing and how, you know, how stale it is and how it needs to transform and modernize.
Sure. Yeah. So if we didn't highlight it in part of the previous conversation, leading on from innovation, that goes pretty much hand in hand with technology, right? And what it potentially can do, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm borrowing your phrase now. I think, yeah, obviously there's a hell of a lot, not just AI, but if you take technology in the terms of, you know, an ability, a specific knowledge based way of doing something that is efficient in terms of the effort output, that is also technology in the broader sense. Were you seeing or hearing anything specific to those types of things about where the industry might be headed? And that, I know that's quite broad and general, but just your thoughts.
That's fine. There are two areas in this that is finally getting some attention, and where we could see huge savings. I mean, first of all, it's in the payments, and it's, you know, it's the distributed ledger technology, or the we can call it, you know, we can use words like blockchain and crypto, etc., but it's really about the sort of payments in real time. And just imagine if we don't have to go through these horrendous processes of clearing houses and BPOs that are typically in India, and these audits. And if you in real time can see and follow those payments, this actually applies to so much of the entire travel industry. Just imagine if you can audit where your money is going, if it's going to the local community, coming back to ESG, right?
Yeah.
So that's one, something that I really think and hope that it will impact and it will make a difference to this and modernize it. Because like I said, I see huge savings here in these processes. And then another pain point that I've also seen that people have started talking about, and that is the you know, coming back to sort of a bit about the PNR centric environment, it's all the messaging, right, in this industry, when all these old environments like the PNR environment is talking to another PNR environment. And that cost of messaging is archaic. It is horrendously expensive. And, you know, all technology gets faster and cheaper and more efficient, but not in this industry and this. And here we have to modernize this. And again, the cost savings are enormous. Really enormous here. So that those are two areas that I hope we will sort of address sooner rather than later.
And is it fair to say that our legacy and low cost operating airlines on the same page with this type of with their understanding of what needs to be done?
Well, the low-cost airlines, of course, are very API-centric. They are used to working with APIs. They already work in that kind of environment. They're fast, they're agile. You know, they don't sit around and they just test something and try it out now, and they want to test it in different markets and do very, very quick A-to-B testing. One big problem, as I see it in the sort of legacy world, is that the airlines have been very dependent on buying all the services and products from their so-called passenger system vendor. And they have, and that vendor is delivering everything for them. You can say that, you know, it's much more than the passenger service system. They have products for revenue management. They have products for e-commerce. They have, you know, the list is long. But the problem with that is, of course, that you're sitting in a pool of maybe 300 other customers, right? And the same platform, which makes it painfully slow. You know, you don't, it automatically does, because you don't have the freedom. You are definitely not API centric. You don't have the freedom to do, you know, and this actually comes back to our original conversation about transition of knowledge, because why has this happened? And that's because airline IT has typically within the airline been outsourced to the passenger service system company. And there are very few PSS companies in the industry. So it's dominated by very few players. And so that really prevents them from that agility and to be able to move fast. Something that the LCCs, of course, are the complete opposites of that. They can move fast.
So it kind of reminds me, and trust me to have another health related analogy or story to make this clear for me. It's like, I'm a proponent of, supplementation and orthomolecular nutrition, which is the idea that megadoses of the right vitamins and minerals can actually help in terms of managing health. So as I would advocate for well-being health to my colleagues as we flew, one of my colleagues would often say, more than on one occasion, say, oh, yeah, but I just get my minerals and vitamins from Tesco's, you know, because they do these minerals and vitamins, and I'm good. I don't have to go and pay a lot of money in order to get these. And my comeback to them was, think about it. I almost said his name there. Not that I know that he's still flying. Think about it. If you have an organization that has thousands and thousands and thousands of different lines, how much of an investment are they making in that one specific product that they're selling dirt cheap, that is commodity, as opposed to going to a specialist, fully fledged operator who only does that? You know, it's kind of like that's what came to me when you said that, and I thought,
it's a brilliant analogy, because that is exactly what it is. So you go to your PSS vendor for e-commerce, and e-commerce is not what they specialize in. You know, they've never been good at it. they probably never will be good at it, right? Because like you say, it's just a commodity. It's just a part of what they do for all the 600 yeah. customers or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So it's never going to be driven as the sort of main product or specialized. Yeah. Very, very good.
Interesting. So I want to touch on what is happening in the Middle East, because it's an interesting market. Forever and a day, we've been told that it was going to, in terms of passenger volume, it's going to be more busier than Heathrow, which was number one for a period of time. And, you know, I think they had the expo that they were going to do in 2020 that they had to delay because of the pandemic, and that finally took off. And I remember going into DXB, Dubai, and it would be rammed, it would be packed, and then it all kind of like fell off, and it was, you know, like a, you know, deserted conference hall type place. And hopefully that has picked up now. But Dubai is interesting because it's kind of like where the East meets West. It has a lot of potential. They've got a lot of leeway and ability to make it something in terms of a travel destination. You could argue that they've already done that. So it should or could be a hotbed for all the things that we're looking at that could be done better outside of the area. Do you think it's ready for that? And is there a potential there, or is it just...
I truly hope that they will, because I also see great potential for them. I see actually Istanbul being more of that place, because I see a lot of technology being driven out of, you know, Turkey. It seems to be very friendly towards innovation. It's kind of interesting that what areas, parts of the world are really innovation driven. I've had my own thoughts. I mean, this is just Anne sort of thinking. Maybe sometimes in the Middle East, or, you know, majority of times, that it's very, there are so many layers of bureaucracy, perhaps. It's very, you know, there's just so many decisions that have to be taken. Because, you know, just to give you an example, you hear of Riyadh Air with unimaginable money, right? There is just so much money that I can't even begin to visualize how much money. But I also see that this airline is typically working with very traditional players, right? Both on the consulting side and both systems wise. So whereas an airline like one that really impresses me is Royal Air Maroc, because they do have a startup collaboration. And they do that extremely well. I'm actually on Thursday this week, we're interviewing Fairline, which is one of the companies that will be introducing the product for Royal Air Maroc of reselling seats where the passenger cannot fly. So, you know, it's I want to cancel this flight, or I cancel this flight. And it should be, instead of that seat going empty, it should be resellable, right?
Okay, excellent stuff. So, I continue my learning journey. Istanbul, I do know it's definitely very popular as a holiday destination.
Yes, for sure.
And is it Incheon? Is it Incheon? They have quite a few. Turkey has quite a few international airports, and a lot of numbers in terms of as a destination. Yeah. Why am I thinking Incheon?
I wouldn't know, but they've done some pretty cool stuff also in Istanbul. You know, they did the virtual interlining concept from the airport. They said, you know, if I want to fly airline A to Istanbul, right, and then I want to fly airline B, and this is what I want to do as the customer, right? I don't care if these airlines are not in the same alliance. They don't cooperate. They have nothing, you know, there's no relationship between these airlines. But it is what I want, right? And so they tested and facilitated that so that the bag could be checked through. that the process went, you know, as if they were working together, but it was the airport facilitating this. So very interesting. There, that's also innovation. And this is something, of course, we can discuss. You know, should really the airlines be in control of that, who they are working with or what? Mm. Or should I, as a customer, be able to say, yes, I'm willing to pay extra for the, you know, for facilitating this for me, right?
Yeah. We need advocates all across the industry to
To
make these things a reality.
Yes, we do. We do. Yeah.
Okay. So, I've enjoyed our conversation thoroughly. If you want to, I'm talking direct to the audience now, if you want to tap into Anne's broad knowledge and deep thinking, you can catch her on LinkedIn on Mondays on travel.
Linking
the travel industry.
Yes, we do this. We do this every Monday. I do this together with Rian van Score and Ashraf. We do, and it ends up as a podcast on businesstravel360.com.
Excellent, excellent. And which, by the way, is the same stable that the No Jet Stress podcast sits on. So please come and join us. Have a great conversation with us at any time, either live on the Mondays, or catch up if you want to thereafter on businesstravel360.com podcast. So Anne, it's been really great. I'm going to close with our traditional question here, which is, what is your favorite destination and why?
Every time it's Malaga, Spain. It is. I used to live in Spain. I used to live in Malaga. And to me, it's the city that has it all. I mean, there are many cities or places that I'm very fond of, and I've lived in very many different countries. But yeah, that's very special to me.
Malaga, I've never been, so obviously I must go.
You must go.
I've been to Barcelona and liked that quite a lot, but I hadn't thought of putting Malaga on the map at all in any way, shape, or form. So
I know.
I'd be interested to have something to say about Malaga before I stop flying.
It's got it all. It's got, you know, it's got the beach, it's got the culture, it's got the theatres, it's got the music, it's got the festivals, it's just a really great restaurants, great bars, and of course the great, well, Malaga, of course, is the city where Pablo Picasso was born, and there is a fantastic, amazing Picasso Museum in Malaga. Okay. But there's also the patron of the city, who is Antonio Banderas, and who has done so much for the city. Lovely. Yeah. And he's saved, I mean, there is a fabulous old restaurant that you sort of truly, it's been around in Malaga forever. And it nearly went bankrupt and was going to close. And of course, he went in and saved that one, which is a lovely, lovely place in restaurant and bar in Malaga. Yes.
Right. Well, when I decide to go, I'll be hitting you up for
a
list of places.
Please do. The list is long of the musts. Yes.
It's been a pleasure having you and having this conversation with you, Anne. Thank you so much. And we look forward to inviting you back to talk more about where our dear aviation industry is going. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Chris, for inviting me. And already looking forward to coming back.